Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is Force Center, a show about Star Wars, pop culture, and the ultimate adventure, life itself. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Knapsack. I hope you're seeing me clear. I just realized it's raining in Burbank, and it usually destroys my internet. Hi.
Oh!
We can see you, cap and all. And
yeah. Jennifer Landa, I am here. There was rain. I heard the pitter-patter, but now it's gone, I think.
It's a little pitter-patter. Yeah, it's leaving. Mm-hmm.
Little pitter patter. I've been trying to walk every day, and I'm going to just have to do circles in my apartment or put on a hat. I don't know. It's really challenging. It's hard to be me right now. Anyway, we're excited to be here in the rain as we record with an episode that is questions of the everything. We've got questions from a kind patrons on our Patreon about Star Wars, other pop culture, life itself, sometimes a blend of all three. We can't wait to dive into two great questions today, but we want to let you know first that, as always, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. We have a recommendation. It is the two words that, if you're a Star Wars fan, are probably the most prominent thing on the internet right now, which is Dark Disciple. This is a great book, a great novelization of Clone Wars episodes that did not get produced. It is written by Christy Golden. Speaking for myself, it's one of my favorite Star Wars books. It's got some very juicy, philosophical, interesting stuff, and just some very romance-focused stuff, a very different Star Wars story, and hey, features that Asajj Ventress character we've all been talking about. You can download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. One more time, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. Ken, we also have an ask.
We do have an ask. We'd like to ask you to consider going to patreon.com/ForceCenter and supporting us there. We got a goal right now. If we reach 400 paid subscribers, we're about 389. We are going to start doing film commentaries again. I say again because a few exist on our YouTube channel, but we're going to do them as audio commentaries that will be available for purchase to the public. He said like a flight attendant, but exclusive to those on Patreon. And you get to help us decide what movie to do next or just what movie to do if you want us to take a look at something again. But that happens when we reach 400 paid subscribers and supporters on patreon.com/ForceCenter.
You connecting it to the way that flight attendants talk about what is available for free or for paid made me think of the age-old question, food or not food during commentaries. I myself am a not food not person, food. But I've heard some commentaries where like, you needed a bag of nuts during this 2 hours of your life.
Oh. Yep.
Just eat into the microphone. All right. We are excited to dive into these questions. The first one comes to us from Will Culbertson. Will says, greetings, Force Center. Wanted your thoughts on an interesting what if scenario. The scenario is this. Instead of his own cross guard lightsaber, what if Kylo Ren had been wielding Darth Vader's red lightsaber from the start of The Force Awakens? Assuming that the three films play out exactly the same otherwise, how do you think that one little detail would have affected the themes and deeper meanings of the films, as well as the audience response to them? Thanks. Thank you, Will. This is fun. There have been actual Marvel what-if series. There's rumors and rumbles and desires always for a Star Wars what-if, and here we're going to get to act one out. I want to start with the last part of Will's question, the audience response. Jennifer, if everything else had been the same about the sequels, but Kylo didn't have his distinctive blade, had Vader's legacy blade, what do you think the audience response would have been, time traveling back to 2015? How do you feel about that?
It's hard to imagine. I don't know if it would have been positive. I feel like people would have felt like, oh, it's just a young Darth Vader, Darth Vader 2.0. There could have been that criticism. A lot of questions, you know, where'd he get the lightsaber? Blah, 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 right? I don't know if it would have worked. It could have. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this because, yeah.
I think it's where my mind goes too. Of like, I think if Vader's blade had been in there, the narrative and the story would have been built around it more. I think, you know, maybe right. The helmet wouldn't have been there, so that would have been the connection to the grandfather. I think it would have changed some other beats. With I think there would have been a lot more about sort of symbolizing Vader's blade as one side of the coin and the Skywalker legacy blade as the other side, all that, you know. It's hard for me to imagine it just dropped in, but my mind in terms of audience reaction goes to the exact same place as you, of it would have maybe raised the same questions and complaints that other legacy elements in the sequel trilogy did, of
yes,
okay, do any of these people have anything new? We got Luke and Anakin's old blade. We got Darth Vader's old blade. We got X-Wings and TIE fighters. Finn can't even look around the Falcon without finding the remote. We got the Dejarik. We got to have everything. Right. And also knowing from personal experience that some people were extremely bothered by Maz Kanata's line about the Skywalker legacy blade, you know, where'd that come from? That's a great question for another time. If this, it wasn't as pointed with Vader's helmet. Everybody could just be like, guess Kylo spent some time on Endor. But with the blade, you know, especially in 2015, where did the blade end up when Luke chopped Vader's hand off and then the Death Star blew up? I think having two different blades that raise the question of where did it come from?
Right.
For the fans who already don't like that. And I have one friend who's just like, I was out. I was done with the movie. I should have, because like, there are people who did. We do not want the tip of the iceberg storytelling. And we particularly don't want it underlined the way Maz Kanata does.
You know? How'd they get through A New Hope? But
right.
It was a long, intense dinner.
Oh my gosh.
Ken, where does your mind go to audience response? If it would have been, as Jen and I are thinking, if it would have compounded some of the legacy and answers complaints.
Will Culbertson has been a longtime Force Center supporter, contributor, question asker. I mean, Will, I love your questions. I love you. I don't want any of this to happen. I'm glad this is a what if. I'm so glad we don't have to deal with. I could hear some of the people in my life back then in 2015, some who are still around now, going, oh, nothing new. And that would have been a problem. That wouldn't necessarily have been right, by the way, as we have even discussed. Even the, oh, there's nothing new in Force Awakens thing is, I think, just patently wrong at times. There's so many new things. There's familiar things, and there's some things pulled forward. Totally. You're not wrong about that. But analyzing it gives a different answer. But to this, it would have been maybe a bridge too far for some. I think there would have been kind of a cool aspect to it. I don't think I have an outright problem with it. But it's the question of how do you think this one little detail would have affected the themes and deeper meanings of the film? I think it changes things drastically. I think it takes away from what Kylo does at Starkiller Base to Han Solo. You know, kills his dad because he thinks that's the thing he needs to move forward. You've heard these interviews recently of Adam Driver and take the they didn't plan thing to take that out of it. Just Adam saying, yeah, I played this character as if he was continuing to fall into the darkness. It wasn't Vader sliding to light. It was Kylo Ren crawling to the dark and each step along the way. And I feel that if he's got the helmet talking to him, Vader's helmet. But if he had the blade, it would have just been starting out from the bottom. I am convinced of who I am. I am the next Vader. I am Kylo Ren. I am the power. Where I think his weakness is the doubt. That's Rey's first victory, right? Taking the mask off in the dual interrogation scene. I know your weakness. You know you're not Vader. And I think all that starts to change. Where the pursuit of this, for lack of a better term, good blade, right? The blue blade of the Skywalker clan, so to speak.
The hero's blade.
Blade. His pursuit of it is to try to take that and change the legacy and change it and make it his. Versus he might have just been like, whatever, I got a red one. Like the red one. Not the one that he adapted that is broken and cracked and all those great themes behind his blade. This is why I don't want a Star Wars What If series. If they do, I'll watch it. I don't watch the Marvel ones. I'm not engaged enough to know, but it's just like, I really love what they came up with. I've stand behind that. So Will, I love you. Your question though caused some torment in me.
Some Kylo Ren like torment. Yeah. I think, what does it say about how far along on his journey, how committed he is, or how much is he sort of just cosplaying? And I think Kylo Ren for me is in some ways is the most new, one of the most new things about Force Awakens on a sort of thematic level of what does the evil look like to different generations? What does choices look like when you're burdened by the legacy of the past, which is to me so much what the sequels are so successfully about. And regardless of who planned what when or who wrote what when, if you just watch the films and interpret them as text, they're so clearly, relentlessly, effortlessly about coping with your legacy. Mm-hmm. And for me, him just having Vader's blade skips what's fascinating about him, which is he's trying to become something he isn't. Vader fell and Vader was committed and there was no backing him off his path. And Kylo is trying to be Vader. So yeah, having his blade would have been like, it could have been, I'm propping myself up by just dressing in I'm just wearing his clothes. As you suggest, Ken, it could have more communicated. He's already at the end of his journey. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, what we got this mixture of cosplaying and stumbling toward what Kylo thinks he is meant to be. We get the sort of cosplay aspect of it by wearing a mask when he doesn't need it. There's no medical or appearance reason for him to have it. He's cosplaying as Vader. And that blade that we eventually, you know, learn through other storytelling, and or I guess by freeze framing in The Last Jedi, is his blade, is great. It's him trying to change himself. And you know, you could talk about the cross guard as well. We needed a new lightsaber. We wanted that same pop in the trailer, the way we got from Darth Maul's back in the day with the double plated. Mm-hmm. But the thematic, the wobbly, the shaking, that's who he is. That blade is the character. And I think losing that would make it an entirely different story.
Right. I think that the cosplay, you're nothing but a boy in a mask. He's trying so hard to prove he's not a Nepo baby, right? Like, he's trying so hard to be like, no, I am this tortured soul, right? Like, I'm emo. But, like, that's such a great point about he doesn't need the helmet. Like, he's putting on all these things. And that's why I loved the cross guard, because when I saw that for the first time, it looked crude. It looked violent, right? It was such a huge tell of who this character is. And I thought it really played well with him being this modern villain I felt very, very fresh for me. That's Kylo Ren is a fantastic character. Fantastic performance by Adam Driver, because we have seen kids like this who are just trying so hard to prove something.
Yeah. And that great story that he runs away from his family because they put all this legacy on him, and his way of running away is choosing a different part of his legacy. It's a story of our time of being not being able, from Kylo's perspective, to find the value in our lineage, but rather being tortured that he can't escape it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you could absolutely tell that story with Vader's blade, but it's so hard to think of missing out on his shaky blade. It's one of my favorite little things in the video game Battlefront 2. When you're playing the versus mode, the characters have dialogue that is affected by who they're with. Like, you know, Grievous will say a specific thing to Han Solo, or like Palpatine, when he gets close to Chewbacca, I think says, "Solo's Wookiee." But when Obi-Wan gets close to Kylo Ren, he says, "Did a child make that lightsaber?" And cracks me up, because like it's just a funny little joke. But it's the heart of it. It's the you're not this big scary man you think you are. You're trembling, horrible threat to yourself and to others, you know.
Mm-hmm. This is just turning into celebration of what was with Kylo.
Yeah.
Jen, it was you on an episode a long time ago. I remember you said plainly, you're like, you know, anyone, and this is before Rise, but like anyone that tells him to take the mask off, he kills them. He needs it so much, other than, you know, the moment with Rey. And then even later on, we've discussed, you know, Joseph and I think we went deep into this of he doesn't have the mask for about a year or so, or whatever the timeline is. And all of a sudden Palpatine shows up and he's like, "I need that mask. I need to rebuild it, but put some red on it, glue it together. And I need to pretend again. I need people to see it." He's fluffing up his feathers. And I think that's part of the thing of his character.
I need to put on this fake face I've made for myself that helps convince me that I am this monster, this darkness. I think for me, if the Vader blade was in it, it also, in terms of changing it, I think it would have had to speak so much to the hero's blade. And I think it would have been you are a son of this legacy. There are two paths before you. There's the hero's blade and there is the blade of death that the galaxy trembled before. And which of these are you choosing? I think there was this choice to start as far into the story as possible. And Kylo had made his choice. The Vader blade almost makes sense to me if the story of Force Awakens had started earlier and it was about the fall of Kylo Ren. Yeah. I could see it then where he had encountered both blades and he's, choosing between the symbolism of the two.
Completely changes the story. Sorry, Ken.
No. Well, I was going to say the same thing, Jen. You know, that's the point of these. This is a great what if question, Will, essentially, because this is it would have been completely different, which was part of the fun. We don't.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The one moment that's like funny to me is I love the moment in Force Awakens where he's rejecting all this legacy except for the legacy of darkness to be on his true path. You know, he needs to kill the father because he can't be defined by the father. Mm-hmm. And the second he sees the Skywalker blade, he's like, "That's mine." Total Nepo babies, you're saying, Jennifer. Mm-hmm. So if he already had Vader's blade in that moment, it would have been a total nerd, collect them all. Like, I have six of the seven Funko Pops in this line. And Finn's walking around with the seventh Funko Pop that belongs to me. There would have been a real, like, nerd collector, I must have them all to it if he was already walking around with Vader's blade and then wanted the Skywalker blade so bad.
I don't know if it would have played it as comically and as directly as that, but if, you know, that blade flies into Rey's hands, he could have been like, whatever, take it. That's the blade of the one that died. I got the one that lived. Now, of course, you know, he would have known the history of Vader and gone to his funeral pyre. But, you know, in that moment, he would have had that mindset. I'm going to continue that legacy. And there's a little bit of that. I get it. The helmet's speaking to him, right? So there's some of that there. But, yeah, it would have been highlighted more.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I think it is interesting that, you know, Will asks about the entire course of the trilogy, not just Force Awakens. And in theory, well, who knows? Anyway, it's interesting that we return to the Death Star wreckage in Rise of Skywalker. There is the implication in the Aftermath books that people have found and are selling Vader's blade, right, Ken?
Yeah, yeah, the Acolytes of Beyond, right?
Or the Acolytes of the Beyond, yeah. But, you know, put that to the side for a second. You know, we do return to the place where, in theory, the blade might have ended up and been buried. Mm. I could see bit of resonance if he had got it, you know, if that blade had traveled from that wreckage and he returned it to the sea where it was meant to be sunk.
That
would have had a nice little bit of poetry, but I really like him throwing his blade away.
Yeah.
Right.
It works.
I agree with that.
Any other thoughts on this? Well, what if?
No, inspires a lot. Will. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have one other question jumping off of Will's question for you, Jennifer. How do you feel about a what-if Star Wars show where there would be an episode like this of, like, what if Kylo found Vader's blade and that was an episode? Or, you know, what if Leia trained instead of Luke? Or, you know, what if the Rebels didn't blow up the first Death Star in that kind of series?
I think, yeah, it would be very difficult for fans because we had Forces of Destiny that answered a lot of questions that we had, kind of filling in these little moments, and people did not like it. Mm-hmm. I loved the show, but there was a very vocal part of the fan base that was like, no. So I have a feeling that what you said sounds great. I love it. I'd green light that, but I think that people would not like that, because this is not canon and this changes everything, or they're like, you know, Disney sucks, why didn't they give us this?
It should have been that, you know, right?
Yeah, it should have been that. Kathleen Kennedy said no. Like, okay.
Ignoring that she would green light this show, like,
exactly.
A tour of Kathleen Kennedy's mistakes. It's very funny. It's very funny. Yeah, I've seen headlines, rumors, so I have no idea if there's a what if series coming. There's been a second season of the Marvel one. People love the Marvel one. For me, the Marvel one is different because it is dealing with the multiverse, and all of those stories are like, if you wanted to, you could dive in. Getting introduced to Captain Carter is being introduced to a character that we can follow.
So it
is different. You know, Doctor Strange says he looks into all these different millions of realities to see which one he's, you know, they are canon in a different timeline, or at least they can be. Star Wars is this different beast because it is about, like, your destiny is pushing you towards making a choice, and the choice makes a difference. Han doesn't show up to help Luke out, you know, above Yavin. Mm-hmm. That's it. One and done. That's the choice.
Right.
So we get it for what if Han just goes to the cantina and pays off Jabba. It's fun. It's fascinating. Wow. But I don't think it's got that same sort of marvel of, like, and that's a new timeline. And now we could follow this Han and follow this galaxy. So I think it's kind of a different beast.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that a lot. Not to put a downer, you know, water on the flames of anyone who wants the series. You know, when I watch it, sure. And it's not that I'm someone who, like, needs canon and needs it. We're discussing that this week with Adventurous and Dark Disciple. And it's like, just have some patience to see where the story's going to go. And sometimes you might, I get it, but I don't need it a strict adherence and to canon. It's just a bit how I take it in. Now, over the years, we've themes and the whys and all that stuff. But for most of my life, I've watched things like Star Wars, Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings, even though you mostly know where that's going because of the books being so long ago. But like, I see it as a living history. So if Ser Jorah makes this choice, he made it, and that's the story, and that's what I've got to deal with as a fan versus theory, speculation, or wanting something else. And I'm not, and that's my way. It's not everyone's way. So that's why going back, and then you add in the four center conversations that have just made me appreciate what's there in every little moment. That's why I don't need anything new. I love exploring what is there more than just what is canon. Just what is there? What is there in the story?
Yeah, if there was a what-if show, I would watch it. I think a lot of people would really, really love it. A lot of people are clamoring for it. I think this is our little, this is our Force Center preview of, I think this is what would happen. There'd be a what-if. We would try to review it, and we would just end up talking about why we like the choices that were made.
Right.
I think that's the art of a really great what-if is like, to me, I would love it if it was a little thing. Mm-hmm. Because then it's just talking about a divergent thing. Not a correction or a different choice the creator should have made.
Right.
Because what if just becomes other drafts if you go for really big moments. But if you go with little, you know, smaller moments of, you know, what if R2 and 3PO, you know, what if they didn't buy R2? What if Owen just said, I'm not buying an astromech today? Yeah. And we go follow R2's adventures. Then maybe it's just an excuse to follow R2's adventures. Mm-hmm. I think I can be like into that, but anything that starts to, I love Will's question, but this episode would turn into, they should have done that. They should have made a different choice. And that is such a fine line.
It's a fine line.
Fascinating stuff. Thank you, Will, for the question and the questions that it made us ask ourselves. Turns out we really like Kylo Ren. Shaky lightsaber. We're going to take a quick break. If you're listening to audio on video, we'll pause for a second. Like there's something wrong, and then we'll be right back.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com Quince.com/host.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And we're back. We are going to take this next question from David Litchfield. David says, inspired by my recent rewatch of Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, I would like to ask the following. If you happen to pass through a time fissure, what era of human history would you like to explore and why? And now, as I'm reading this question, I realize I've never asked the important question of Jennifer. Have you seen Dial of Destiny?
No. No, I have not. So.
Never mind. Yeah. This is a what if question. This is a what if question.
Look.
No, you don't have to have seen Dial of Destiny. I just suddenly realized I didn't want to be doing spoilers.
Well, yeah. Well, okay, go ahead.
Do you want to time travel to a certain point in history and why? How about that?
That's the question.
Okay, that's kind of how I interpreted it. Is that fair? Is that right? Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I was never concerned that you wouldn't understand the question. I didn't want to accidentally go into a bunch of spoilers about the film. That was just, okay. And have you want to? I want to time travel back before they spoiled that movie for me. Ken, where do you, we've tackled questions like this before, but I was fascinated to see that one of my answers did not change.
Okay.
And one of my answers did change massively. So where are you at? Have you changed from previous times we've talked about what eras of history you want to visit?
Probably not, because they're like my favorite eras of history. However, having just, I love Dial of Destiny. I really absolutely enjoy the hell out of that movie more and more. Having recently rewatched that, have also been in my, as I've mentioned many times the show, really in my middle-aged World War II doc phase. I think I might need to go right to where the characters wanted to go, not where they ended up, but where they wanted to go, because I've become obsessed with the side plot in World War II of the amount of Nazis who did want to kill Hitler because they thought we're losing because of Nutball over there. And what if that happens, right? We win World War II in a lot of ways because Hitler's hubris never stopped and got worse. And so I'm fascinated by, that's a what if we, you know, oh God. So I might need to go back and just, I don't know, help. Is that a Tom Cruise movie? Like help stop.
I don't think it.
It's a weird spot because then you're like, no, don't kill Hitler. I got to stop you from killing Hitler because we need him to be alive so we can lose. It's a weird spot. It sounds like I'll grab Tom Cruise, Vin Diesel, and we'll go.
Valkyrie. I've never seen it, but yeah.
And then Cruise, you're right. Yeah, he's in that. So
there was a window where there was an ad for Valkyrie at the front of every other DVD you could get from Blockbuster Video. So I feel like I've seen the trailer for Valkyrie as long as it would take for me to actually watch the film Valkyrie. But
yeah. Yes. So I'd be in this horrible, weird spot of stuck between the two outcomes. But yeah, so I'll start there. I don't spend a lot of time thinking about the Roman Empire. I don't, but I do spend a lot of time thinking about these kind of historic what ifs. So that's the what ifs I like. Well, other history stuff, any era of I've talked about it, but you know, whether it's swing in London in the 60s or New York comedy scene and the LA comedy scene in the 70s, anything that's about the start of a movement. I'd go to the Sunset Strip in the 80s just to watch Guns N' Roses, get together. I'm obsessed with that kind of stuff too, and just seeing and studying those eras. It's boring answers. I sound like I'm a dude that just watches a lot of documentaries in his free time, and I am.
Well, you rattled off a lot of historical union activists in a previous episode, which was clearly like, how many documentaries is he watching a day? Do we need to check in? Does he need help?
Too many.
Yeah. Jennifer, where does your mind go of what times you'd want to experience?
Yeah, I had to think about this because I'm like, well, can't go there. That would be bad for me being Mexican-American and a woman. So, like, if I just remove that element of it, right, I would want to go.
That's so true and sad all the same time.
Really, right? It's really, really true. I was like, yeah.
Oh, the 50, no. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Okay. So I was really trying to think about it. I'm not going to go down that wormhole. It was about toilets and how this king made people use the toilet because they were just like pooping in the halls and the whole like kingdom smelled terrible.
This is great. Is there a doc on this?
I can't remember where I came across this, but I was like, that's fascinating because you see in art, you know, this pristine artwork, but visualizing that it smells like poop, it gives it a whole new context, right?
Do you know Gardez-le, the phrase Gardez-le?
No.
It's what you shouted before you dumped your filth bucket out the window. So if you're walking down the street and you hear somebody go, Gardez-le, you're like, okay, got to get out of the way.
No.
Look, I still, to this day, if I'm walking on the street, I'll try to make sure if I'm with Grace, I'll walk on the outside so that if the Gardez-le comes down on me, I take it. That's kind of where it comes from, right? So like that's...
Oh my gosh! I'm sorry to take us down this road, but
these are the realities. We love you know. There's a reason there's not like a scratch and sniff Jane Austen book, right? We love the romance of it, not the like the that actual living smell. Conditions. Yeah, that right. Like we don't talk about as much about the like. Yeah, no. If I landed there, I'd be murdered instantly. Or you know, the smells would really ruin my you know like.
This is right. Do you ever watch the HBO series John Adams?
No,
there's that great scene where he and Abigail reunited, and essentially it's a love scene, it's a sex scene, and they have to undress each other for an hour. Like it's hilarious. It's so real. It's just I love it. So Jen, I'm with you. I want this documentary. We'll call it The Kingdom of the Poop, and we'll go into it.
Yeah. Okay.
Look, I'll take it to a classier area, like Mozart. I thought about like Mozart and how there's been so many stories about him, right? Obviously, mm-hmm. I love Amadeus. And so I would want to see like how much of that was real? What was that like to witness such genius during that time? I think that poop might be a factor there too. So I don't know.
I don't know if there's any place future. I guess can we travel to the future where humans have solved the great problem?
Oh yeah. You know, the Apple Vision Pro, that thing is really incredible. Have you guys seen the Apple Vision Pro?
What does it do to the bathroom?
Does it stop you from having to go to the bathroom? Because they should lead with that.
That should be the number one thing in the presentation.
Your avatar has legs, and you as a human never have to defecate again.
Yes. So you can actually like travel. I think you're going to be able to travel and not travel in time, but like, you know, visit these historical sites. It's like a VR headset.
Okay.
And it is incredible. But it made me think, I was like, 20 years from now, where virtual, like that kind of VR lifestyle is like common and everyone has it. What is that going to be like for me as an older lady? Mm. Like it's like technology has been moving so fast, right? Like for me, yeah. I remember a time before the internet, but just like, wow, like this is the future of being able to like, you blink your eyes and you can like scroll on this like display. It's incredible. You guys got to watch the video. It's incredible. It's like $3,500. So I'm not getting it, but that's the future.
The divide between the elite gross.
Yeah. No, that is fascinating.
I won't be blinking.
I'm so fascinated about the VR and about whether it's clearly like amazing, right?
Yes. It's incredible. You can watch movies. Yeah.
Yeah. Technology gets better and better, but there's still this is a total side topic. There's still this question of like, but does anybody want it? Or is it just companies trying to make it happen?
I want it after that video. I never wanted it because it blends. Like you can like, the whole idea is that like you can take meetings with this VR headset. You can like scroll through your texts. You can watch a movie and like in any room that you want and like enlarge the screen just by going like this. Like it's so user friendly,
yeah,
and it's all connected to, you know, obviously all the Apple products. It's like this seamless, daunting than other VR headsets.
I'm confused. A bunch of topics roll into one. I can take a business meeting in the Roman Colosseum. Is that what you're saying?
I'm sorry, it's me. I'm explaining this so bad, you guys. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
So you could turn on a movie. Or like, let's say you get a phone call and you're watching this movie, right? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden that person comes up. You can take the phone call still in that virtual reality. We would all be like in this,
Got it. Everything is just Back to the Future 2, finally. We're finally at Back to the Future 2. And I don't want to sound like Brian Gumbel and Katie Couric on that famous, and Ann Curry on that famous clip of, what's the email?
What is?
It's got an at symbol. What's...
It's me. I'm explaining this terribly.
Well, we might be into it. Like that's the fascinating thing to me about it. Like as a recreation, it's fascinating. Like, yeah, being able to put on a headset and like truly believe that I am in, 1970s Sunset Strip.
Exactly,
I walk around and it looks real and maybe smells real. We can talk about whether we want that or not. That's a fascinating recreational opportunity. But then there's the other part of me of like, If I'm watching a movie in this virtual reality, like great, I'm totally in this other world. I'm surrounded by it. Let's say it's a movie with a sex scene, I'm immersed in this, and that's weird. And then my dad calls on the FaceTime, and like suddenly his face is above somebody's butt. I don't know if that's something that I'm like, great, I can do it all. I don't want to have it all at the same time.
Joseph, pick up.
Hey, it's your old dad. Like, oh yeah, you're right on top of that guy's butt.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Right. Yeah. And it makes you less interactive with people around you, right? Like, how are you gonna watch a movie with your partner? Like that just you're both like in these little things watching the same thing. I don't know.
The thing to me that's fascinating about that, and it is the sort of like older science fiction, but like if technology got to a point where we could be physically brains in jars, but we live and function in a virtual reality like that. And to circle back, like we don't have the downsides of a body. You don't have to go to the bathroom. You're like,
you don't have to sleep. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you can live forever because you're a brain in the jar and your tissues aren't deteriorating. You know, would we get to a point where you're walking around your virtual reality, well accepted as reality, we're basically in the matrix, we're brains in jars. And, you run into, somebody who was born in that system and they're like, elders, you were born in the before times. What was it like to go to the bathroom? Well, let me tell you, kid.
What was a nap like? Yeah.
Yeah. What was napping like? Carpal tunnel. What is that? Yeah. Fascinating.
Right.
There you go.
All right. Go. Time travel.
We'll save this. We'll save this clip. Someone open it up in 20 years and see how close
if their predictions are correct. All right. So to get back to time travel, Jennifer, where did you end up going? Where did you want to go?
I went all over the places where I went. I went to Mozart. I went to the future. I don't know. I'm happy being in the present. I'll be honest with you. It's one of those things where I'm like, I'm just going to celebrate the now.
The now is hard enough.
Yeah,
it is.
So here's a couple for me. If it was the kind of time travel where it's like pop in, hit the button, leave, I would like to see some dinosaurs. I would like to travel back to dinosaur time, see one dinosaur, and then hit the button and leave because I have no sort of weird pride survivalist of like, I could do it. I could live among the dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. That's not who I am. This is the answer I've had before and similar to Ken's. If I could travel to about 1964 and go to Vegas, I could see Rat Pack in their heyday. Mm-hmm. And then I could take a very long and dangerous flight to London and I could experience Beatlemania, Bondmania, and Dalekmania, the villains from Doctor Who, all at the same time on the streets of London. That would be phenomenal. We talked about this before, a listener suggested a book called Love and Let Die, which is about Bondmania and Beatlemania happening at the same time. And I picked up that book. I'm going to read it soon. That would just be like amazing. The new thing that occurred to me, and I'm really curious to see what you both think about this, is I think maybe at the top of my list would be I would like to travel back to the 80s, to the era of my actual childhood, and walk around in adult eyes. Mm. It's one thing to know I experienced the world the way I did from literally a different height, but also from an entirely different. We've talked about so much of the nostalgia of like everybody thinks they came from a simpler time. And in one or two respects, maybe you did. Maybe one specific thing was simpler, but we all think things were simpler when we were a child. because we were a child and we didn't yet have the burdens and the knowledge, I would love to walk through the 80s and go, oh, this is what it was really like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with some of the discourse that's happened, watching women in line for Star Wars, you know, things like that, mm-hmm. things where like, mm-hmm. my perspective was warped by what I was told when I was a child and mm-hmm. what I experienced. What would it be like to experience my own childhood through adult eyes? Is that interesting to you, Jennifer, or terrifying to think That's of traveling great. Back to the 80s?
That's a great answer. Would you watch yourself as well? Like, would you oh, yeah. like, yeah, mm-hmm. right? That'd be, it'd be really, mm. I'd be mad. I'd be like yelling at myself, like, say this, do this, yeah, right? Yeah, or yeah, yeah. you might go, oh, why did I react like that? That was not a big thing. And yet mm-hmm. I took it so hard, right? Mm-hmm. So those types of moments, that'd be real, oh, that's really intense. But I love when you go back to a place from your childhood and you're like, oh, this is actually not how I remember. Like, it seems so much more charming in my imagination, my memories, or totally. Like it seems so much bigger. And it's like, it's really a small little thing. It's always yeah. fascinating.
Yeah. Ken?
That's so interesting. You remember that one conversation we had, Jen, during the other center conversations about like where we grew up, where you and I
yes.
were very close. We've discovered, went to the same church, all that stuff. We might have fought over big wheels in the church playground area. I got from my dad the address again of where we lived.
Oh, you did?
And I'm planning to get out there. It's so close to where I go to Disneyland or conventions and everything, but I've never gone. And I'm going to have exactly what you're feeling, Joseph, of the size, the feelings, emotions of that. Oh, that was really there. It seemed like the world, it was four blocks, right? Mm-hmm. So that would be kind of almost traveling to 1982 for me mm-hmm. as most I can. It's fascinating, not just to see how actual – you know, how actually small the Subaru station wagon we had was, and that car bloat is a real thing now. I would be like, that's a tiny mm-hmm. little station wagon. But yeah, to actually see it again. Maybe yeah, VR will do that.
Yeah. Like, for me, going back to the city of Portland, like the first time I did, it was dreamlike because I don't recognize buildings, but like somehow it's almost like, but this intersection, I know it, but I couldn't tell you how. Mm-hmm. But it also looks like so smaller, so much smaller, because literally physically, you know, from my perspective, it was. But yeah. to think of kind of having that real life experience we can of a place, but also just like all the people in it. And the time I lived in Portland, the height of Empire Strikes Back fever was so magical to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to go back and just watch the adults and go like, oh, that kid's dad was was a creep. I didn't know. Or, you know, or oh wow, I didn't see that dynamic between these adults that's so clearly yeah. obviously there, and I didn't know. Yeah. It's like that stuff is fascinating to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So 1980s, David. Thank you for the question. I would time fisher back to my own childhood era and maybe go see myself, but at least the era I grew up in. Any final time travel thoughts for you, Ken?
Look, I want to go back and save Hitler to make sure he dies. So I think your answer might be a little more clear.
Yeah, that is a great Back to the Future sequel for sure. Yeah. Jennifer, any other time travel, VR, or toilet thoughts from you?
No, I need to go back and find this thing that started all. I think it was a tweet that somebody said about this historical king or whatever.
I want to know.
That's hilarious. It's amazing. Got to deal with reality. Deal with reality. All right. Those are our two questions. Questions of the everything from Darth Vader's lightsaber to time travel. Well, we covered everything. Ken, you want to let people know where they can find us?
Yeah, we are on Twitter and threads at Four Center Pod, promoting things over there. We're on Instagram as well. Facebook page is Four Center Podcast. We're available on many forms in terms of podcasts. Just search, you'll find us. Places like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, and more. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/Four Center. And you can support us directly as we set up top at patreon.com/Four Center. Follow me at Ken Napsok or go to my website, kennapsok.com for more. Had a good conversation with Mark Ellis this weekend about places we might be playing some new spots. And Joseph, I might have to ask you for some Portland recommendations. So stick around for that information on my website. Jen, where can they find you and your obsession with kings and toilets?
You can find some of my Star Wars short videos on Instagram and YouTube at Jennifer Landa or TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138.
Wonderful. Joseph, take us home where I'm sure your newsletter is all this and more.
My next newsletter will be about the Oscar Wilde quote, "We are all in the gutters, but some of us are looking at the stars," which is what I think about when I think kings and toilets. But now we're looking at the stars in VR. That's what new VR Oscar Wilde can tell you. Anyway, if you want to catch up with me, you can find me on all the social media at Joseph Scrimshaw. I've got a newsletter, a blog that I'm really excited about coming out every Tuesday. You can find it at, by going to buttondown.email/finishyourmonsters. Also, I had some good news this week that the short horror film I worked on with many wonderful people, including Ken, has been accepted into two more film festivals. I'll try to get more information out about where and when you can see the film if you're interested.
Love that. Love that. All right, my friends. So for lightsabers, commodes, and history, and the future coming our way fast. This has been another episode of Force Center. Bye.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stephens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.